I think the league office, the NFL league office, has been listening to this show probably, Matt, what do you think, for at least the last decade?
Well, it's about time they put into
this morning,
what
this
we've
morning,
been talking about.
Great. This morning they announced they've done away with the Pro Bowl. It's no more Pro Bowl. So they're going to have some kind of skills contest and flag ball and stuff throughout the week. Isn't that the way you all read it? Or
yeah, they're
going
to have some kind of skills competition, something like that, right? Well, something they really else they had, can try to sell tickets to.
Yeah. You know, that thing had used to. That was really an honor and a kind of a big deal to go over there and play. And then it's just turned into, you know, kind of a fiasco, really, where guys get kind of halfway play dead. You know, and I, you don't blame them for not wanting to go over there and throw their body around. But it's really been pretty much an embarrassment to football. So this is a good thing. I didn't mean to get sidetracked.
The players didn't want to be there. And I think finally sure. The ratings got so bad that I think the networks were fine with letting it
right.
go too.
Right. Well, it really was an embarrassment to organize
yeah.
football.
It's just a bad representation.
Yes.
Right. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So, you know, fortunately that, hey, have skill competitions, play some flag ball, and let's get on with it. So anyway. Yeah. Guys, interesting. Well, go ahead. What were you going
to
say, Craig?
No, I was just going to get to the football weekend, and I think you got to start in Norman, right, Pat?
Oh my goodness sakes, guys! You know the you know that I was bouncing. I don't like doing this, but I was bouncing around between that game and the Arkansas game because I had interest in both of them. I think obviously Martinez has got skills. His skill level's high. We've seen that before. I think, we had talked about the, you know, as far as this wasn't brain surgery at all, obviously, is the key to win. If OU was going to win, you couldn't let Deuce Vaughn and Martinez get off and have big days running the ball. Well, that's obviously was bass backwards because Martinez has an enormous day, and Deuce Vaughn has, about what he'd been having, you know, 115 yards or whatever it was rushing. And
yeah, 116, yeah.
Yeah. yeah. You know, it's we've talked about this before, and I really wonder about these sorts of things. You know, when OU faces, are they way more equipped to play against the spread stuff than a game in a phone booth? And sure, I mean, K-State will spread out some. I mean, they're not always just going to line up with two tight ends and bang at you. But you know what I mean. I mean, K-State, and they have done it through a couple of different coaches. You know, they have a what I still consider a conventional element in their attack where they actually come off the football and get after people and don't waller around on folks, which in today's football, most of it's wallering around. It is with offensive linemen. But, I mean, these guys will. And then, you know, and then you see all the missed tackles. Really, OU did give them some bad plays when they hit a call, you know, and got somebody upfield and knocked down somebody. But as far as missing tackles, I mean, that just went on forever. It was, you know, you just wonder whether again, OU, and they're not the Lone Ranger on this, but when you go against this style of attack, all preseason and all spring practice, are you geared to play a real tough football game when somebody wants to just kind of challenge your manhood a little bit? You know, you got to tackle, you got to get off blocks, you got to play that kind of ball game. Not that they're not afraid to hit, but there is a what am I trying to say here, guys? Kind of a trend, for lack of a better way to say it, when you don't face that style of attack much at all. And you don't in this league a lot. And I think it shows up. I think it showed up down there Saturday.
Well, don't you think the key of the game, Pat, was Adrian Martinez and his ability to run? Barry Trammell said it this morning. He gave him the grades for the game, and he said containing Martinez, he gave OU an F because K-State called 39 pass plays. He threw 34 passes, all right? He scrambled for positive yardage five times. OU did not have a sack. They produced four quarterback hurries, but Martinez gained 86 yards on those scrambles, including the 55-yarder that sealed the game in the final minutes of the game. But he gained 62 yards on design run plays, on 16
yeah,
design that's... run plays, 62 yards. But 86 yards on those scrambles, I thought that was really the difference in the game, Pat.
Well, I mean, he's got speed. We've seen him run before. You know, he's not just some shoemaker that when he breaks, can't break off a long run. The guy can. But, again, the called quarterback runs add such a dimension to the game. when you pick up an extra blocker and numerically and all that, and when you can do that combined with a legit tailback running game with a guy who's got some speed, you know, but you don't want to be at OU counting missed tackles. You don't want to be in that defensive room counting missed tackles. You know, I mean, I thought Venables, you know, now, but I'm trying to remember whether I've even heard his remarks since he watched the tape or not. I don't know whether I have or not, but, you know, it was not good. It was not good.
Well, and like Tram said, this is a quarterback who threw for a combined 304 yards against South Dakota, Missouri, and Tulane. And he throws 21 out of 34 for 234 yards against OU.
Of course, again, when you can run the ball, that makes all that other stuff work. Classic.
Yeah. No, that's right.
You know, when you have a run threat and you're not totally one-dimensional or anything like that, but I don't know, was it Tram or somebody that had raised the point, does that mean Tulane's a lot better than Oklahoma is defensively?
Well, they were.
I mean,
they held them to 10 points, right? And K-State put 41 on OU. So,
yeah, I know it. It just, I still think, and we'll get into this in a little bit here in a while. But as far as our rankings of these clubs, but I still think OU is not going to be an easy out, because this league throughout the league is not real good at tackling. It's really not.
No, they aren't. I watched, TCU, listen, they have a lot of speed. They can score some points. They put 42 on SMU, but SMU also had 34, and I saw terrible tackling part of TCU. Kansas, I love this Kansas story, Pat. It's a great story, but their defense isn't very good either. You know, Duke was moving up and down the field on Kansas.
Yeah.
Texas and Tech game, same thing, Pat.
Oh, yeah.
We saw it on both sides there. Even some in the Iowa State-Baylor game, although, you know, Baylor did hold Iowa State to, what did we say, Matt, 2-point-something yards per rush. So Baylor can play some run defense, I'll say that.
Well, and now, again, personally, I really like what Baylor does offensively, guys, because they do have an under-center element and a conventional style of running game element in their offense. Now, they'll do the direct snap stuff and the spread-out stuff, but they have – an element of quarterback under center and you know, legit downhill running. They do.
Right.
Now, I think that's what's going to make this Oklahoma State-Baylor game interesting. I really do. Iowa State does a little bit of that sort of thing. I don't know. I haven't watched them enough to get a real feel for kind of what they're doing, but I know Baylor does, and obviously Kansas State does.
Yeah, but Iowa State, 2.4 yards per rush against Baylor the other day, Pat.
Ooh, not good. Yeah, right. Okay. Gotcha.
And Iowa State had won 11 straight home games in conference against Big 12 opposition. They had won 11 straight at home. So Iowa State was favored in that game. So that was a big win for Baylor.
Big win. I think Baylor's got a good football team. This is, what, are they favored by about a point and a half?
Something like that. I think I know one line I had seen was 2.5. That was like last night, I think, an email.
So basically,
I got.
Basically, it's an even ball.
Just about an even game. I can't wait for it. I think.
Oh yeah.
I'm not here to say either one of those teams can go with Bama and Georgia, but I do think that it's going to be a really entertaining game.
Sure, I mean they're good football teams, and
I'm looking at one and a half, two and a half, different lines in favor of Baylor, Pat.
There you go. Well,
like Matt said, Iowa State did throw for 284 in that game. And so, yeah, you look at the total yards, it's 361 for Baylor and 350 for Iowa State.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, I don't know, Pat, to me, the ability to run the ball, and not that Baylor was running it up and down the field. They only ran for 123 compared to 66 for Iowa State. But at least they could run the ball some when they needed to in that game.
Well, this freshman tailback, Reese, they got is a pretty good-looking kid. You know, they lost what Ebner was the one they had last year. They're not great, great backs, but they are physical guys, and they do have a more of a physical element in their style of attack, which does, you know, I don't want to rag on it too much, but it does show up in this league because not many people do that, quite honestly.
Right.
They don't.
Yeah. So anyway, and then Texas and Tech, Pat, what are your thoughts on that one?
Well, I'll say this. It leads me into something. You know, we were talking – again, and my what did you learn this weekend? Okay, Greg, you led me into this a little bit early, but my what did you learn this weekend? That Joey McGuire I mean, he's not admitting it. He's trying to soft sell it. I saw some of his remarks this morning. But this is his signature win. When you're at Tech and you beat Texas, it is your signature win. You know, they flood, they run all out on the field and carrying everybody off, and that's a huge deal. So, no, congratulations. Like I say, McGuire's not, he's kind of trying to say, hey, it's just another big win for Tech and all that and everything.
He
and
knows
sure,
what that
but
means.
He knows.
Pat, did you
he
watch
knows
him
what
the other
means.
Day? That I mean, he was going for it on fourth, the very first drive,
oh, I know
fourth
it.
And five,
I know.
Fourth and
yeah.
seven. In yep. the third quarter, they're down 10, and mm-hmm. he goes for it on fourth and five and missed it. Texas has the ball at the 40-yard line. And
yep.
with a 10-point lead. And to me, Sarkisian, he was just coaching not to lose. I don't know what he was doing in that game. He's running the Wildcat and, you know, fourth and
well,
two and so forth, just running straight into the line.
The tailbacks probably were the best players on the field. Now, when one of them fumbles.
But
you know,
they aren't knocking people off the ball, Pat.
Well, I know
they're
it.
The best
I know
players,
it.
But,
I know
but
it.
They
I know
clearly
it.
Were not winning the line of scrimmage. I don't know. To me, you got to have – you know, maybe a bootleg pass or something. They're acting like they're just knocking them off the ball, but they really weren't.
Well, so. There's something obviously about them he doesn't trust because he's normally a fairly wide open type of guy. His mentality,
yeah.
you know, normally he's not
well,
opposed to
when he gets
throwing
Ewers in there. I think he will be, but and this kid, you know, Hudson Card, he did. I mean, he missed. He tries to throw one deep down the left mm-hmm. side in the end zone when he had a tight end wide open, no one. Within 15
right.
yards of him at the 10-yard line, that type of thing, Pat. So that's what and he did lose Worthy. I hadn't heard what the injury was, but Worthy was limping around
oh,
early
that's
in that
right.
game.
That's right. I didn't see that.
You know, so you know that's a bit. The whole thing is quarterback, right? With Ewers, they could look like a different team. I think.
Oh well,
we'll see.
Probably could. Again, they're still a mystery team. They were a
yeah.
mystery team coming into the season, and they're a mystery team now. You know, and now Tech beats them, and you know here they're going to be playing into the wind the rest of the season. Be real honest about it, but you know, but McGuire, that's a landmark win for McGuire. Now, don't think it's not because it
yeah.
is.
No, it is. No, and listen, I give it. He was not coaching not to lose. You know what I'm saying? He was coaching to win the game. You got to love playing for a coach like that. I mean, Pat, you've been around a lot of football. Have you mm-hmm. ever seen a coach go for it eight times on fourth down in one game?
Well, I tell you what, it's interesting. This element of head coaches out there now, they don't pay much attention to field position. They really
no.
don't. I mean, it doesn't, you know, used to in your mind, Craig, the percentages. You know, kick them down to inside the 20 and they got
right.
an 80%.
All that,
I mean,
right.
all that used to, that was a big, big deal for years. And guys of my era paid a lot of attention to that sort of thing. Now, you know, it's just kind of go for it. And I don't know whether it's some kind of analytical deal or what, you know, or you know, you don't think the other club's any good or for whatever reason. But guys now, maybe they don't think they're any good defensively, Craig. You know, when you're not any good defensively, you know, so you take more chances just to keep the ball in the hands of your best unit, which happens to be the offensive unit.
Every Monday you give us your Dirty Dozen, your top 12. I mean, the
mm-hmm.
AP poll comes out yesterday, and they still got, you know, out Georgia 1, Alabama 2, Ohio State 3, Michigan 4, and so forth. Give us your Dirty Dozen.
Oh, I went off a little bit. I went Alabama 1, Georgia 2. Georgia kind of flopped around against Kent State, and Alabama just disposed of Vanderbilt real quickly. But so I got Alabama 1, Georgia 2, Ohio State 3, Michigan 4, Clemson 5, USC 6, Oklahoma State 7, Kentucky 8, North Carolina State 9, Penn State 10, Tennessee 11, and Washington 12.
All right, so after the top six, OSU was
mm-hmm.
7, and you had
mm-hmm.
Kentucky 8.
Kentucky 8, North Carolina State 9, Penn State 10, okay, Tennessee 11, Washington 12, probably because, you know, Tennessee might should have jumped them up a little bit. NC State and Clemson play this week. Guys,
big that's ball game
be
might be the
big,
game of the week.
Yeah, might be.
Unless
the game
I'm forgetting
of the week.
One, it might
no,
be the
I,
game
I know
of the week.
No, I was kind of scouring this stuff, and it probably is. So you got that one going on with those two guys, and then you know Penn State. I haven't seen enough of them to tell, but I know what they're normally playing with, and once they get going good, they'll have good players. Washington has gotten to be a pretty quiet 4-0. Greg,
yes, they
you know?
Have. No question about that. They got UCLA coming up
mm-hmm.
on Friday night, but but took care of Stanford as they should have. I mean, I tell you what, I mean, Washington could go a long way in the Pac-12, and you're right, Pat. Everyone's talking about USC and all the splash and so forth. Talked about Utah in the preseason, and Utah is coming back and playing well and could be right in it.
Right.
Utah, by the way, they got Oregon State coming up this week. That's going to be a very interesting game
Big
for
ball
Utah.
Game. See, Washington and UCLA play Friday, Greg.
Yeah, and then they're going to have back-to-back games with the California schools. So that is going to be interesting out there. What did you think of Clemson, Pat? 51-45, double overtime win over Wake Forest the other day.
Well, the quarterback at Wake, I haven't seen much.
Sam Hartman.
Is a good-looking player, what I've seen of him. Now, I haven't really seen much of either one of them, to be honest about it. You know, I mean, Clemson, we know what they've, you know, the run they've been on. The guy at Wake, the Wake people have really done a nice job. I mean, I hadn't even looked at the line on that one, but that was a I don't know. Clemson's got a good football team. North Carolina State, I think it's got a good football team. What little I've seen of them, you know.
Yeah, no question about it. And even in the preseason, we've talked about the fact that, you know, coming up October 1st, you know, NC State at Clemson.
Sure.
It's going to be Saturday night, 6:30 our time.
Clemson's a 6.5-point favorite. Started off at eight and has moved down, so there's money coming in on NC State. But as of now, Clemson given 6.5.
Well, real quickly, you know, guys. Hey, Tulsa played. They played pretty good
against
Ole Miss.
They fought them.
They fought pretty good. Yeah. I gave up on it. Looked like they jumped out, and then Davis Brin, the quarterback, turned his ankle. You know, and Ole Miss. Now Tulsa shut them out in the second half. Ends up 27-35. Matt, I think you remember what I picked it.
No, I don't.
Going in 35-28.
Did you really?
Yes, I did.
Well, that's you're a lot closer than what I would have thought.
And it was wasn't the spread on that like 20 something points?
Oh, it's a bunch. It's a big number. It was a big
20,
number.
21, something like that. I thought
Arkansas. Oh. They had no business losing that game to A&M. I mean, now Arkansas let Devon Achane, the tailback, get loose, and he ripped them up pretty good.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
But as far as, you know, K.J. Jefferson, bless his heart, it's first and goal from the three.
I know it.
You know, and you don't be trying to stretch
don't
the ball
lame,
out.
Yeah,
don't be doing. If it's the last play, if it's fourth down and you had to do it, you had to do it. The ball gets knocked out of his hands. It's crazy. The A&M kid picks it up. Then he hands it off to another, and the kid runs 70 yards. And the whole and then at the end of the ball game, Arkansas kicker has been pretty good. The kid hits a 42-yarder or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And it hits the top of the upright.
Top of the upright.
Oh, my gosh, you know. So Arkansas let one get away from it.
Well, and then, you know, Arkansas, who they got this week. They got Big Bubba coming
Big
up.
Big Bubba's coming to town. So that was a big, big, big loss for Arkansas.
It was a missed opportunity.
Yeah, it was. Yes, it
and
was.
And A&M has to travel to Mississippi State next Saturday. That'll be a heck of a game.
That won't be easy. No, it won't be easy. There's no earthly telling.
Hey, I'll tell you another couple of interesting games coming up, and I know we'll talk more about it throughout the week. Kentucky Ole Miss.
Ole
Miss goes from playing TU to playing Kentucky.
Yep.
And I'll tell you another one. I haven't seen a lick of them, which is crazy, because by this point in the past, I would have already seen them play a couple times. Florida State's 4-0.
Yeah.
And they're hosting Wake Forest. Now,
interesting.
And what I'm looking at, Florida State started off a 3-point favorite. It's up to 7 now. So people are pounding Florida State. Don't know really what to make of that. I haven't seen – I mean, I saw them play a little bit against LSU. I did see that first ball game where they were kind of fortunate, you know, had the block kick. Remember, Pat, where the LSU, you know, let the guy get inside him or whatever. But
right.
Florida State at 4-0. That's Boy, isn't that something? We're surprised when Florida State starts 4-0. There was a time where we'd be surprised if they didn't start 11-0.
Thank you. Well, what about Middle Tennessee? They brought the Hurricanes back. Oh, Lord, Pat. Guys. Yeah, 45-31.
Have a good day, Coach.
Yeah,
Crystal.
Thank you.
5 points.
Thank you.
On Miami, the game, obviously, at Miami.
Right.
In that one. I don't know if you stayed up late and got to see USC, Pat. USC,
they had to score late.
State.
No, they had to hit one with, a minute and a half left or something.
Yeah, scored a touchdown late to win it 17-14. It was more of a slugfest. But not surprising on Oregon State's side. Oregon State's been playing some good football. Just intriguing to see. And Lincoln Riley after the game bragging on his defense. How dare anyone question my defense and this and that, Pat. But they did get a big win on the road the other day. So
yeah, whole deal. But, it was a – you talked about Tennessee, Florida and that kind of thing. And my man Richardson, I was trying to watch some of that and then got off on another game. Big win for Tennessee. And, and Florida now has dropped two.
Yeah, Tennessee didn't run away. I was wrong on that game. I thought that it could be an avalanche at home. They were all psyched, ready to go. They did have a big lead in that game, but let it get away, and Florida came back and made it a game. But Tennessee wins it 38-33. NFL-wise, just real quick, Pat, what stood out to you NFL-wise?
Well, obviously,
how about your fighting Miami Dolphins, Pat?
And I got mad again, which I try not to, I did. We did not get that game on TV.
We didn't get Kansas it down City. Here either.
You
we
know,
had the Chiefs.
I know. Yeah. Not the time you want to watch Kansas City, then to put somebody else on, so it's back Astros or what it ought to be. But I was trying to watch it on Red Zone, which gives me a headache. But, it's a heck of a win Buffalo. What about our man Ken Dorsey? He got a little bit upset in the press box up there, didn't he?
He slammed that headset and tablet.
Well, they kind of called a little kind of a sprint pass with a little pick play, and the kid throws it in the dirt. It was really a gimme, but that's about as big an explosion I've seen. I've been around one guy that was a little volatile in the press box that I won't use any names. I saw him slug a hole in the wall, but that was what Dorsey really blew up. If you hadn't seen that, you ought to go watch it.
Well, I'm not big. I'm not saying moral victory or anything like that, but Buffalo did everything but win that game. Yardage, time of possession, everything.
Whole deal.
When you don't finish out drives, you have a missed field goal, you have a turnover on downs, that's a really good win for Miami. You beat the best team in football.
How about them Colts? They just put it on Kansas City.
Like a different team.
They needed it too.
Got some help. Had a kid that couldn't field punts for Kansas City early in the game and gave him a touchdown. Then he refused to field the next one, let it go to the 1 yard line. But give the Colts credit. The crowd was into it. Nice win over Kansas City.
Philly, the best team in the league.
I can't go there yet, Pat. But I'll say this: Jalen Hurts is balling now. And matter of fact, I saw some talk, and again, I don't know that I necessarily expect it to continue. He's getting MVP mention. Now, we're way early. We're only 3 weeks in. But he's playing awfully well, man. And he's got guys to throw to. Brown and Devonta Smith, man.
Devonta Smith from Alabama. How about a couple of catches that he made yesterday? So, I tell you what, it sounds crazy, but you know who their next game is? It's Jacksonville. The way Jacksonville's playing right now, that's a very interesting game. And then they go to Arizona the next week, then got the Cowboys the next week. So, no, it's early. They're off to a great start, though.
Yeah, Jacksonville, Carolina wins a game.
Boy, they needed one, too.
Really.
A bunch of – Cincinnati needed one. They got it. Carolina needed one. They got it. Tennessee needed one and beat Vegas and so forth.
Well, there's only three undefeated teams left. One of them plays tonight, the Giants. Mm-hmm. What is it? Philly, the Giants, and help me out in the AFC. There's one team. Miami. Those three, and the Giants, they play tonight. They've only played two games so far.
Now it's time to find out who made the biggest splash in sports this weekend. Brought to you by Aquascape Pools. Call 478-POOL to talk to a pool professional. Aquascape Pools. Outdoor living is their passion. It's who made the biggest splash in sports this weekend on WWLS, the sports animal.
Smythe, the tight end in motion, gives it to Edmonds, buries his head, drives into the end zone. Touchdown, Miami. They take the lead for the first time today.
It's a run right up the middle. That's two touchdown runs by the Dolphins.
And that's our Aquascape Pools biggest splash of the weekend. Chase Edmonds going in from 3 yards out. That was the Bills radio network. As you could tell, they weren't real pleased with that as the Dolphins go 72 yards in six plays on that drive, and Miami takes the 21-17 lead. Buffalo did add a safety, but the Dolphins get the 21-19 victory yesterday, our Aquascape Pools biggest splash of the weekend. Craig Humphreys here at Thunder Basketball Media Day. We have Gideon Hamilton down here, Bobby Thompson, hope to be joined by Michael Cage or Chris Fisher coming up here in just a couple of minutes. Matt Meyer in studio. So, Matt, until we have our special guest, we can just touch on more of what happened over the weekend. One thing we have not mentioned, Matt, how about what Albert Pujols did on Friday night?
Amazing.
Connecting for $699 and $700 on Friday night.
Yeah, we've only seen three other people go $700 or above. So it was a magical night, without a doubt. And he is on some kind of tear. And the thing is this is not some ceremonial, you know, just, you know, give him some at-bats to try to sell tickets or try to drum up publicity. He's a big cog of what they're doing. I'll guarantee you, come playoff time, people better be careful with him, because he's the kind of run that he is on. He's incredibly dangerous. So no, it's history. I'm as a Cub fan, I don't got much for the Cardinals, but I can damn sure respect greatness and history. And it's there just hasn't been that many hitters like him. You know, he's absolutely one of the greatest we've ever seen. There's just no other way to say it.
Yeah. No other way. And it was a great reception that he got from the crowd in L.A.
Well,
I know he played for the
Dodgers. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Played out there, right.
Yeah, he played for the Dodgers. Obviously played for the Angels for a number of years. But
anyway, the one year for the Dodgers, too. I mean,
I don't care if he had never played there. You know,
right.
the appreciation, you know, should be there from baseball fans. And it definitely was out in L.A. on Friday night. That was really one of the special things that I saw this weekend, Matt. So, but going back to the NFL, Matt, I don't know. You look at it right now, NFC-wise,
mm-hmm.
team to beat. I mean, the Rams got the victory. Still a road win at Arizona. If you looked at the schedule before the season, you know, you'd think, you know, that if you can come out of there with a victory, that's good. They get the win 20-12. I know Arizona does not look – I mean, they look like they're – having a lot of problems right now. So I wouldn't necessarily say that they're one of the teams to beat in the NFC. But anytime you get a road win in the NFL, that's a big deal. And Green Bay has to feel really good about going into Tampa Bay. But again, Tampa Bay right now,
yeah,
they're having their problems. When you don't have, you know, when wide receiver-wise, I mean, just, you know, when you look at not having Godwin has been a problem. Julio Jones was looking good early in the year. Mike Evans – if they would have had Mike Evans for that two-point conversion, that might have been helpful anywhere down near the goal line. I'm just saying when they get some of their weapons back, they're going to be a lot tougher to deal with.
I think, to me, if everyone is healthy, now, of course, usually come playoff time, there's going to be teams that are going to be missing some guys. That's life in the NFL, and I understand that. I think I would still, for me, put the Rams and the Bucks maybe about a half step ahead of the Packers. And I know Green Bay just won down there. I watched the game like everybody else. I know that. But like what you just said, I mean, the Bucs have been decimated by injury. Now, the question for them, you're right, Craig, not so much are they going to get the receivers back, but, you know, up front, offensive line. I mean, that's something that you have to keep an eye on. I picked the Rams.
Donovan Smith is still out there, left tackle. And we've talked about the –
right.
You know, they had the one guard retired and one guard left in free agency, and then they lose Ryan Jensen, their center, right off the bat in training camp. And so, yeah, I think that's the biggest problem there is offensive line, man.
Philadelphia is playing really well, and I don't want to come across as some bitter Cowboys fan, okay? That's not what I'm trying to do. But I will say Lions, Vikings, Commanders. Not exactly a murderer's row. Now, you know, maybe with the Jaguars being better, maybe we'll find out a little bit more about Philadelphia. And then, like you said, they got Arizona after that. But we said before the year, Craig, that the first half of the Eagles' schedule, I said they could easily be 8-1. And I think that is 8-1. Let's see, 1-4, 6-8, 9. 8-1 going into the Colts game, I think is what it was. If you just look at the Eagles' schedule on paper, I mean, they're going to be favored to win a lot of these games. They'll be a favorite over Jacksonville. I bet you they're a slight favorite at Arizona. They'll be favored to beat the Cowboys. If Prescott's back, maybe the Eagles will be a small favorite, but they'll be favored there. They'll be favored against the Steelers. They'll be favored at Houston. They'll be favored against Washington. We'll see what the Colts are doing. I know what they did yesterday. We'll see what the Colts are doing closer to them. But, I mean, the Eagles are going to be favored in their next six games. Now, that doesn't mean you're going to win them all. But I guess, and again, I don't want to look at this just from a Cowboys fan perspective. I'm Jalen Hurts is playing fantastic. Can he continue that? You know, if it's Jalen Hurts going against Tom Brady in the playoffs, you know, who are you really going to take? You know, I mean, I don't know. I know this. Philadelphia is playing terrifically, and that defense yesterday, I mean, they were wearing Carson Wentz out. I mean, I bet you Wentz spent 2 hours in the tub after that game yesterday. Philadelphia just got all kinds of after him.
Well, and speaking of that, what about your Cowboys tonight playing the undefeated New York Giants?
Well, I think they have a chance. This is a game for me that before the year I would have picked the Cowboys to win. You take Prescott away, and the Giants have been a little bit – they've played a little bit better than what I would have thought they were going to play before the season. Giants, I'm taking the Giants by a field goal. I'll say that New York wins this game. I think I said 20-17 in what I wrote for the sportsanimal.com. Giants have been a little better than what I thought. They've played better than what I would have thought. I know that until yesterday, Tennessee had not gotten off to a great start, but they beat Tennessee with that 2-point conversion back in week one. I'm going to take the Giants tonight. But, you know, it's not like the Cowboys can't go up there and win. I mean, the Giants aren't anything special or anything. But how about if the Giants win tonight and after 3 weeks we'd have three undefeated teams in the NFL and two of them from the NFC East if the Giants win tonight? That would be something else.
Well, and then what about Baltimore? Baltimore quietly got a road win at New England. Mm-hmm. I know winning at New England is not what it used to be. But that's still a nice road victory.
Mac Jones, no touchdowns, three interceptions. I mean that's pretty much the story. Although I would say this, the Patriots did run the ball pretty well. Ramondre Stevenson, the former Sooner, had a nice day. Lamar Jackson made a lot of plays. I mean, he accounted for five scores. You know, four through the air, one on the ground. Boy, you worry about Mac Jones moving forward. Man, he, you know, it goes without saying the Patriots can't afford to lose him.
No, they can't. And you're right. I mean, he it was not his best day yesterday. Bad decisions on a couple of throws.
Yeah.
Both interceptions in the second half of that game.
Mark Andrews with two of those touchdown catches from Lamar Jackson. That was good to see.
Mark Andrews, at one point yesterday, they called him the top tight end in football, and then they said, the guy in Kansas City.
Yeah, he's not bad.
Something to say about that.
He's not bad, but Mark Andrews is a pretty good player, though.
No, he's done a great job, and we've talked all season from the preseason about the quarterback, you know, the contract situation for Jackson and so forth. But he is, you know, he keeps playing like he did yesterday, Matt. He is making himself some money. There is no question about that. Okay. Anything else we're missing, Matt? College-wise, over the weekend. Big 12 is just going to be crazy. We'll do this with Pat tomorrow. But if you're making if you're ranking your Big 12 right now,
oh my word!
Matt, I mean, how does that look? And I know we got the big matchup, obviously, in Waco coming up this weekend with Baylor and OSU.
Yeah, I would say for right now, Oklahoma State 1, Baylor 2, Oklahoma 3.
You'd still put OU 3.
Yeah, I think I would. Who would you put ahead of Oklahoma right now?
Right now?
Mm-hmm. Would you put Kansas ahead of OU right now?
Well, I mean, K-State just beat them the other night.
Yeah, no, I can buy that. Yeah,
It's the old deal. Are we talking? Are we predicting a finish at the end of the season, or saying
right
where they deserve to be right now?
You know what? You're right. I would have to put K-State ahead of OU right now. I mean, they just beat them in Norman. So yeah, I'll go with that. I'll go K-State 3.
I might even put Texas ahead of OU right now. I mean, hey, OU lost at home as a 2-touchdown favorite. Mm-hmm. I mean, Texas lost on the road as a 1-touchdown favorite, but Texas also played Alabama straight. I don't know if anyone in the conference has had a game as good as Texas did playing Alabama down to the wire.
And fair to bring up both games, Texas, well, the other day, the entire game, the majority of the game against Alabama playing without their best quarterbacks. I mean, that's fair to bring up as well.
Yeah. So.
Yeah.
But you might. No.
I
but
can
seriously,
see
right now, you got to give the Kansas schools, I think, some love right now. Just K-State for going into Norman and winning the game. Kansas for being undefeated so far.
Sure.
You know, and even TCU. Like I said, I watched the game the other day with SMU, and SMU were having some success. But I tell you what, TCU. This is not the old, 3 yards in a cloud of dust TCU. I mean, they have some speed on that team.
That's true, although you brought up, it wasn't exactly a shining example of defense yet
SMU. No.
And
then Texas Tech, where do we put them in there? Because really, I think right now, again, just based on beating Texas.
Yeah, would you have to put them ahead of Texas? So does that mean you have to
put them ahead of
Oklahoma?
No,
definitely
put them ahead of – no, that's what I'm saying. Just, right now, you got your Baylor and OSU, but I think you got to give teams that won the other day, like K-State and Texas.
Yeah, I can buy in
right
that.
Now.
Yeah.
And West Virginia, Matt, for what they've done. I mean, now, that wasn't a conference game the other night, but 33-10
blistered Virginia
on the
Tech,
road
though.
At Virginia
yeah.
Tech. Now, I don't think Virginia Tech's all that good, but – I don't know. This conference, like you said,
it's so even. That's the deal, is that there's not a Kansas in recent years or a Baylor from 15 years ago that's just a doormat.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.